Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Barbara P. from Georgia, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 16th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are at page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with Of Necessity, and we'll be ending with How We May Meet Their Needs on page 20. Today's readers are Robin B. will be doing the steps, Luann C. the traditions, Ann SCH will be reading our text, Lisa N. will be doing our closing, and then doing our newcomer greeter is Alex K. and Ann, Shelly E. will be doing our announcements. Let's see, reference numbers for the previous day, Sunday. Our special edition on February 15th was 23,212. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting was 23,213. So, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And Robin B., will you kick us off with the 12 steps?
Yes, thank you very much. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. The 12 steps, step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Yeah, thanks so much, Robin D. And Luann C., would you come on and read our traditions, please?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C. I'm grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name. to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lou Ann C. So how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we'll resume our study of the Big Book on page 19, paragraph 4, beginning with of necessity and ending with how we may meet here. So with that, I want to ask our reader to get us started, and that is Ann C. 8, SDH this morning.
Thank you, Barbara. This is Ann SCH. Good morning, everyone. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. On page 19, of necessity, there will have to be a discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that these matters are, from their very nature, controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve the ideal. Most of us sense that the real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. So thank you, everyone, for giving me this opportunity to be of service. I just, in reading it now, the phrase that is in the middle, the transition part of the paragraph, is we shall do our utmost to achieve the ideal. So I thought, my gosh, that is like so pivotal in terms of when I look at certain situations. I'm one of these people where I've been hiding for a long time, and to bring about discussions of matters that are medical, psychiatric, social, and religious, I mean, my gosh, that's not in the first phone call and intake with a new sponsee for me, not this particular compulsive overeater. But when I read this paragraph, I thought, gee, you know, this is the steps, because all these issues that come out that people are carrying, that as they're not so much underlying, like my compulsive overeating masked so many issues for me, that it was only once I put down the food and worked the steps that these things, like medical things, psychiatric things, social things, and religious things, started percolating to the surface. And we're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. And for me, there is that constant thought now that there is that daily, morning by morning, asking my higher power, the God of my understanding, the constant thought of how and how I can help other people in their needs. And he's faithful. He shows me. My higher power shows me. And with that, I pass.
Well, great. Thanks so much for getting us started, Anne SCH. Appreciate you. So let me go ahead and I will take a list of names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
GL from Michigan.
Oh, came in together. So if you can, one at a time. Was it D?
Massachusetts?
Janie G in Michigan.
It was EL from Indiana.
Okay, Elaine so DL in Indiana. Hang on 1 sec. So Elaine, I've got challenge. Danny G. I've got I think Michigan. Don't worry, if I don't get the state, I'm just gonna try and capture them. So I have D, Danny, and Elaine, I heard. Who else?
Carolyn J.
Shelly J from Florida.
Christina J.
I heard
Jackie from Iowa. Can you tell us what page are we on?
Let me get some names first, and then I'll repeat. So we've got
Thank
D,
you.
Danny, Elaine, Shelley, and Christina.
K from Iowa.
The Gay.
Carolyn S. H.
K.
Carolyn.
Loretta
okay,
M.
Gotcha, K, and Carolyn, and Loretta.
Jackie D.
Okay. And Jackie, we're going to go ahead and stop there. We will have plenty of time, so no worries if I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I've got Z, Danny, Elaine, Shelley, Christina, Kay, Caroline, and Loretta, and Jackie. Okay, so let's get started. We will go ahead. And we are reading on page 19, fourth paragraph, starting with of necessity and ending with how we may meet their needs. Okay, Dee, you are up, followed by Danny G in Michigan.
Hi, this is Janie G in Michigan.
DL from Janie. Yeah, DL is up first, and then Janie, you'll be going.
Okay, thank
gotcha.
You.
Okay.
All right.
What hit
me was our very lives depend upon our constant thought of how we can help meet others' needs. And, you know, it kind of tells me, how can I help someone? And it's really through sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not one that usually shares, but, you know, we all have something to share. And, you know, when I admitted that I was a compulsive overeater and I had this disease that I could not control by myself, it really humbled me and made me realize that, you know, I'm not here to give advice. I'm just here to share what I have learned and what has helped me. And hoping that, you know, God will use me to guide someone else to do, you know, work the program the way that it's stated. And, you know, I think that that's just, and it makes me humble and to be more tolerant, because we're not all going to agree. And, you know, in our ways, someone else might not find it helpful, but that's okay. And I think that that's just, you know, no basis for contention or argument. You know, our unity and working together. And I think this program, it does a wonderful job of that. And thank everyone for all the service they do and for letting me talk. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks so much, DL. And I love the enthusiasm. I love when everybody starts going at the same time. So, Janie, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Elaine.
Good morning. It's Janie G in Michigan. I'm sorry, I couldn't tell if I was first or second. So my apologies for stepping on Elaine's toes or DL's toe. I'm not sure who it was. But anyway, boy, yeah, the enthusiasm for this paragraph, because we all can relate in. And I just think back to the doctor's opinion where it says that it can rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. And that is, you know, it reminds me of live and let live. Like, I always thought about the let live, like the rights of other people, but I didn't think about live and to be authentic and to be honest. And I think that commitment to honesty in this program has helped me not just with the food and with the behaviors and the things that I talk to my sponsor about that way, but also my honesty about these matters that are controversial, medical, psychiatric, social, and religion. But the important thing is my attitude isn't one of intolerance for other people and bullying my way in with my opinions. It's what I say about myself and showing real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints, just like I want other people to treat me. So it's that golden rule for me and respecting other people's opinions. And the reason I do it, the whole reason, is for me the point of my recovery, which is to be of use to God and my fellows. And if I have those attitudes of intolerance and criticism and I'm acting in my character defects, I'm of no use to anybody. I can't recover myself and I can't share that recovery with anyone else. So I am just so glad that God is doing for me what I could never do for myself. Day by day, he's removing these defects of character and making me a vessel for his use. And that to me is what recovery is all about. And yeah, that's all I had to share. I'm just so glad and looking forward to hearing everybody else's shares. And again, JDG in Michigan, everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks so much, JDG in Michigan. And if anyone has unmuted, please make sure you remuted yourself. So we've got a little bit of noise on the line. Elaine, you are up, and Shelley, you'll be next. So stand by and
wait. Hi, this is Elaine S. from New York. And what I love, and so happy to be here with all of you this morning. I had a relapse the last 3 days, and I really need my fellows. My sponsor was away and is back, but I'm feeling all your love today. What I love is where it says, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for others' opinions or attitudes which make us more useful to others. And I put this in my prayers. This is part of my prayers every morning. And it just shows me, just puts me in a state of humility. I get very upset at political things that are going on. And I just have to trust God. And that means I have to have tolerance. I have to accept the world is not a perfect place and won't be, at least not in my lifetime. I'm 76. And that sensitivity to all, particularly people that God puts into my life, my husband, my daughter, my grandkids, my neighbors, my relatives, anybody, my friends, anyone who God puts in front of me. This morning, I went to get the paper. We're in an apartment building. Went to get the paper, and all of a sudden, I hear this loud bark, and a dog from across comes running towards me, and it scared me at first, so I love dogs. And I got to pet this dog in the morning, and it was so beautiful, Ginger. It was so beautiful. It was just one more lovely gift that God is giving me. And my tolerance of other people's shortcomings, this dog that wasn't on a leash or whatever it was, it just shows me to be respectful and to be loving and kind, and that this gives me an opportunity to serve God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine in New York. Shelley, you're up, followed by Christina. And Shelley, just before you come in, I just wanted to let everybody know we're on page 19, the fourth paragraph of necessity, ending in how we may meet their needs. Shelley, come on up.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Shelley J. I live in Florida and also part-time in Germany, currently in Florida, recovered from compulsive overeating. I love the paragraph. It's chunky full. I try to keep my share brief, but that's not my strong point. First time sharing at this meeting, by the way. I've been coming for about 3 weeks now. The threefold illness is just really spotlighted for me in the first sentence, and I need to have recovery in all three areas. This is not just about the food, although when I came in the rooms in 1983, all I wanted to do was lose 15 pounds. I've learned since then that there's so much more I needed to lose, and that God has been doing that for me on a day-by-day basis. I too love the sentence about most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints, et cetera. That particular sentence was highlighted in my big book, and it speaks to me as humility. And that's something, boy, my higher power God has been really speaking to my heart about lately, about pride and humility and the very subtle ways that they can appear. Some of them are in-your-face ways. I can see them right away in my life. But some of them are subtle. And if my code is to be love and tolerance above all and to be of utmost helpfulness to God and my fellows, these are things that I really need to have his healing on. And where do I need the most help? Right here in my home, my precious, precious husband. I prayed for years for a husband with his qualities, and God answered my prayer. And how can I treat him sometimes? I can be critical. I can give him advice, which is not solicited. I can sound exasperated and impatient in my body language and in my voice. God is showing me how his shortcomings, his viewpoints, his opinions, you know, I just need to be silent and pray. And also this phrase that I learned years ago was really helpful when I disagree with my husband about something, which is, you may be right. That has really, really helped me when I remember it. And it talks about next problem drinkers. I love this part because it tells me that the part one of step one, the food part, that can be recovered. But on the second part, the unmanageability part, I'm a work in progress. One of the expressions that God gave to me that I love is that I have to live in the now and the not yet of recovery. And the unmanageability part, I am a work in progress day by day. God does the healing, but I have to cooperate with his healing and working part of working, you know, the tools, the steps, the disciplines of this is a very big part of that, not my affairs. So thanks for letting me share. Love this fellowship and glad to be here.
Thanks so much, Shelley. Christina J., you are up, and you'll be followed by Kay.
Good morning, everyone. Christina from Washington State. And, you know, I'm a really smart person. I know how to tell you to eat. I know how to tell you to read this book. I know how to tell you to believe in whatever you believe in the political climate and the religious world. I'm smart. I know how to tell you to do everything. And I don't have tolerance for injustice. So if I think you have a shortcoming and I don't like your viewpoint and I don't respect your opinion and attitude, I'm going to get on my podium and I'm going to try to tell you how to do it until I'm exhausted from it because you never change and you just want to fight. I fall down and I surrender to God and I say, okay, you got him. You got him. And I humble. And I realize that I have one thing to share with you, my experience, strength, and hope in this program. And my way is not the main highway. God's way is the main highway. And if you don't believe in God coming in, all I can do is be an example of the light and love. Because somewhere in you, I believe, as the big book says, there is the little idea of God. And that has to grow in many people. It certainly had to grow in me in a way that it had never grown before. In order for that to take over. Because God uses everything. I believe we're in a beautiful climate right now. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? We're in a beautiful climate of confusion and chaos and all this stuff, but by God, that's grist for the mill. That's grist for God to help us grow. Everything, God uses everything that blocks us from him. And if I take a certain attitude or opinion or have a judgment, God says, "What are you in charge? Are you in charge? Can you see the bigger picture?" So when I'm working with someone, I don't know their life. I don't know where they came from. I don't know what drama or trauma they experienced. And if you believe in other lifetimes, whoever knew wherever they came from that. I just know God placed someone on my path. It's a miracle. And I've got something to share with them. He knows it. I don't. So I tread carefully. And when something they say comes up in me, pushes a button in me, whether it's a sponsee or maybe a friend, I take a deep breath. God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me? Because these things that they have that are pushing my buttons are something they're working with, you're working with in them, just like you did in me. So we tread carefully. I just hold space and love. And, you know, as it says in this last sentence, the constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. So I'm just a helpmate of God. I'm just in his employ. He brings the people he knows that some sort of my experience and strength and hope in this program and this disease, I know this disease, I know it from core to skin, can help them somehow. And I hold that space.
Fine.
By God, take away my judgments and my opinions about any. All is God or nothing is God, right? That's the bottom line. All is. If you really swallow that and take it into yourself, acceptance is the answer to all our problems. Thank you, God, for bringing me the sponsees you've brought me and help me to be of service to them in ways that I never knew I could. Love you all. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. Hey, you are up, and we're going to Caroline, and we have a couple more, and then we'll be taking some more names. Kay, you're up.
Okay, I had to unmute.
Gotcha. Yes. We got it now.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for their service. You know, in my career, I was a social worker, so I dealt with a lot of people, and I had so much compassion listening to their stories, and it really made my heart bigger and bigger, and I just am so grateful because I realize not all of us have the same privileges that other people have and have to battle all their lives. And I love this paragraph because it really was true. We just don't know what suffering people are walking around with. And just because, and sometimes the hardest one is when they don't know they are suffering. And we see it and we want to help and we want to fix and all that stuff. But the thing that I do best for every person in my life is to work my program and become more compassionate. And for people, because I used to judge people who judged people. That was my really big sin. And so to learn to get out of my own way, I had to realize that maybe their suffering is dressed up a little nicer, lives in a better zip code and does that, but it's still suffering. If there's anything, opinions that are hateful or cruel or just dismissive, not even knowing what other people's travels are like in this world. So to be helpful, though, and to be useful, I realized I had to get rid of my judgment of judging people who judge other people. And I thought that was so funny when I first discovered it. I mean, my sponsor and I, we had such a great laugh, and I go, oh, my God. I see a really big flaw in my journey, and it took a lot of humility. And then the other thing I really liked is I really started that there's this saying about if you point your finger at somebody and they're bugging you, that there's three pointing back at you. And then I was like, oh, good. Every time they bug me, I get a gift. I get to look at myself. And it's always true that when I am more tolerant of others, I'm usually being more tolerant and loving of myself, whether it helps them or not to just be gracious and give grace. I feel better and I don't get all hooked up with some ugly stuff in my brain. And so it's just a beautiful program. And I think one of the things I really like is the main thing we're always looking at is first, what is it? Clean house, know what I'm doing. Trust God, and then serve others. And I just love the simplicity of all that. And I will have enough to do for the rest of my life that in correcting and being the person I think I was meant to be. I don't need to help anybody else unless they just want a good listener and want to hear maybe some how did it work for me, that kind of thing. So anyway, the humility, love it. That's all I've got. I pass.
Great. Thanks, Kay. And if everyone can let us know last initial M, where you're from when you step up, just in case people want to find you on the phone list, too. Caroline, you are up, and Loretta H., you're going to be next.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Carolyn S.H. in Massachusetts, and I have not shared on this line in a very long time. I was just really struck by my understanding, my new understanding of this paragraph that I've heard a million times, that I see. It's so interesting how different contexts, I can read a different paragraph at a different time in my life, and there's a certain context going on or question in my mind, and I understand it differently. The beginning of the paragraph talking about there are topics in this book, medical, psychiatric, social, religious, that are from their very nature controversial. And then the last sentence, I'm now understanding in that context, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And now I'm understanding that one of the messages, I believe now, of this paragraph is, if I'm engaging in controversy, I'm not being of help. Like, that's the whole thing. If I'm creating a basis of contention, if I'm arguing, I'm not being of help. And that has been my experience. I'm also in other 12-step programs, and it's so easy in meetings, in outreach conversations, to disagree with people, right? We all have ideas. We all have interpretations of these instructions and different relationships with our higher powers, and different things are said. And even on this line, things are said that I don't agree with. And then I hear other people disagree with other people. And it's like, I get that's not helpful to me. And I'm not being helpful when I engage in that. And it's just so lovely to have that just spelled out here. And it was a great reminder. So one thing I thought of too is, if I'm looking for an argument, and I do that a lot, that's part of my disease. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I don't know if you guys have heard that expression, but if I'm walking around holding a hammer, I'm going to find an argument, right? And that's not helpful to anyone, including myself. And the whole, you know, we cease fighting anything or anyone, and that's the beauty of going through these steps and having awareness. So my hope today is that I live in my recovery and don't pick fights. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Carolyn S.H. And Loretta H., you're up. You'll be followed by Jackie.
Thank you, Barbara. And thank you all, along with my precious guide. You are saving my life today. Loretta H. in North Carolina, welcome to the newcomer. You are our primary purpose. I looked up the word necessity, and it means invaluable. And I know that is why I want to be here, stay here, and I am here because it's the most invaluable thing I have on my heart is doing this practice. And it's principles before personality. And of course, my personality as an addict is surrounded most of the time by my perpetual propaganda. You know, sometimes my propaganda is harmless and sometimes it's harmful. And as other people have shared, my thought that you got it stuff is usually my greatest teacher. And so I must really, really digest that or investigate that because, you know, I'm my problem and my selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, fear, and resentment are difficulties in my life. And it's interesting because I heard this and I looked it up again this morning that the Oxford group and the Catholic Church has some sort of dispute, and Catholics were not allowed to participate in the Oxford group. The church, I guess the hierarchy said that, and I'm Catholic, that we couldn't. And I believe that this why it was put into this paragraph, and also a lot of the stuff that it never exclusive, always inclusive, all that stuff was brought about by some of this prejudice that either religion had or whatever. And it was Catholics that wrote this book. And so they wanted to be, you know, because this disease does not discriminate. When I was in New York, they said Park Avenue, Park Bench, jail, Yale, you know, rich, poor. It doesn't discriminate whether I was a good Catholic or a bad Catholic. It discriminates because I have a dis-ease, and it's emotional, spiritual, and physical. And so with this today, I get to heal this disease with this program, because as I shared with my priest, I found God in this book. I went to church for many years, and I don't know where God was, but today I know God, I know peace. No N-O God, no peace, so that I don't take a piece out of myself. I also have anorexia, or somebody, or just my situation where I can't produce peace in my environment each day. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thanks, Loretta H. And Jackie, you're up next. Didn't catch your last initial.
Hi, everybody. This is Jackie D. I'm calling in from Massachusetts. I am just wanting to say, I want to talk about the reading, but I also want to say that today is my 30 days, and I'm very excited. And let me tell you, this program really works. I've been around OA for a while. And, you know, I really, really just surrendered that first step. I just admitted I am powerless over this food and I cannot eat in moderation, I guess you could say. Yeah, the obsession and the allergy was there a month ago. And now, 30 days, what a difference it makes. So I'm thrilled and happy, and it's because of God and my willingness to realize that I'm powerless over food. So I love this paragraph, right? So medical, psychiatric, social, and religious, right? Controversial by nature. Of course they are, you know? And I have an open mind today. So this book does not, yes, I have been prejudiced before, you know, but I have an open mind now, and I think there's definitely going to be discussion of medical, psychiatric, social, and religious, but let me tell you, if you have an open mind and you're willing, you can hear these things and think about them rather than just closing your mind shut to them. So that's very helpful to do. The other thing is the sense of real tolerance for other people. Like, I'm in another program as well, and I remember the day that I actually came to realize that it was about other people and not about me. Like, my disease is so selfish. So to be able to realize that it's about others, like, I need to be selfless and not selfish. And my disease is so egocentric, but that this book is telling us that the opposite of, you know, opposite of our ego is now having a real sense of tolerance and, you know, patience for others. And I can do that today. It's tricky, but, you know, we have steps to help us with that. And also we have God to do that. So when I am with God, when I am close to God and I'm surrendered, which I am today for right now, I can be tolerant, patient, and kind to other people. I don't have to gossip. So I just had to unmute today and just talk about, I think I've spoken on this line like twice in my life, so, and I've been coming a while, but anyway, I'm so excited and I'm happy to be here, and I hope everybody has a blessed day. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jackie. Appreciate you. And thanks, everybody. So many people speaking up today. It's wonderful. The enthusiasm is great. So we have time for three more shares. Who would like to take those?
Lisa M.
Tamika.
Wendy M.
Rob. I got Lisa, Robin, and who was
Wendy.
Wendy, got you. So Lisa and Robin B and Wendy. Okay, Lisa, go for it. 3 minutes.
Okay. Good morning, Barbara. This is Lisa N. Gratefully recovered muscle reader in Georgia. Oh boy. There's another one of those paragraphs with a big old star warning, you know. I don't know about y'all, but I sure thought that I was one of those that could just do half measures and take what I wanted and leave the rest. And I tried that for a long time. But anyway, so these days, I really look at these, you know, either it's italicized or whatever, but this is big. It's telling me my very life as an ex-problem eater is going to depend upon, and we read it, our constant thought of others, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so that's great. Well, then how do I get to that? Well, I mean, for me, this goes back to, in step 10 when it tells me that when those character defects crop up, when, not if, which for some reason, I just thought, I don't know. I thought when I got recovered and entirely absent, all this good stuff, that I've shared it before, I was just not going to have resentments. I don't know. I don't know why. But anyway, so when they crop up, which they do, but so I absolutely know it, when I am spiritually fit, man, I am open. I am open. Things don't bother me, you know. But when I am in myself and, you know, triggered, whatever you want to call it, God certainly cannot work through me the way that I know he wants to. So I'm so grateful, you know, every day for these steps, for a way out of myself. You know, I look at it, hey, I'm like 8 months into this thing. After 23 years of trying, it's going to take some time, and I'm never going to arrive. I'll just keep coming back. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa Ann in Georgia. Robin B., you're up, and you'll be followed by Wendy.
Thank you. This is Robin B. I'm in Ohio. And when I read this paragraph, the first sentence, that there's this necessity to have a discussion, medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. So that tells me that it has to be talked about and acknowledged and recognized, you know. And I had to recognize that this disease affects my entire being, mind, body, and soul, all aspects. There is nothing that this disease does not touch within me. And that I have that awareness of it. And to understand that other fellows, newcomers, you know, that they're experiencing and, you know, that this disease rocks me to the very center of my core, of my being, that there has to be a discussion. And then going on to the second sentence, this very nature, controversial. And then the third sentence is, no basis for contention or argument. So it means to me, Robin, I have to listen, shut up and listen. Because I don't know anything. And remembering when I came into program, what I was searching for was acceptance and tolerance from other persons that had the same disease that I do. And that's what I need to give to others, is just love, tolerance, and acceptance of them. You know, recognizing, I had to recognize my own shortcomings and realize everybody's got shortcomings. Everybody is human. I'm human, and I had to accept myself, that I am human, and humans are messy. And listen and love people where they're at, and with impartiality, you know, not to be partial to anybody, but to love everyone. And that, you know, the paragraph concludes with my constant thought of others and how I may help meet their needs. And sometimes that's just showing up, making a presence, and giving a listening ear to another person, to another fellow, that they are not alone in this world. And just to love them and accept them where they're at. And remembering, you know, I have to do that and that my higher power loves and accepts me where I'm at. I am so grateful for. And I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Yeah, thanks, Robin B. from Ohio. Wendy, you're up.
Yeah, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for your service. Oh, you guys, I can't ignore these words, for God's sakes. Real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints? Oh, man. You put me in a room with compulsive overeaters, and I look like gold, kind of. I look like I'm tolerant. I am. I look like I can be useful. Yes. You see, here's the deal. When I am intolerant, which I am with my partner, with my family members, right? People closest to me, my son, right? And mostly intolerant of myself, right? You see, because you want perfection just as I do, right? So here's the deal. When it comes to the real deal, the people closest to me, I'm not tolerant of their shortcomings and viewpoints. Oh my God, I'm the first to point it out, because don't you want to be perfect just like Wendy, right? But here's the snag. Here's where this doesn't work at all. Where it doesn't work is, somebody's unmuted, by the way. Where it doesn't work is, it feels awful to be intolerant. It feels awful to focus on my boyfriend's shortcomings. It feels awful to be that person. And God makes that possible, right? Page 62, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, that is the root of our trouble. That is the root. And God's the only one that can eliminate, that can take all of my selfishness. I can't do it, right? And God wants me useful. Why? Because it feels phenomenal. When I'm useful, it's the best feeling in the world. It's the opposite world. But when I'm targeting his shortcomings, his viewpoints, his opinions, I'm right, you're wrong. That world is very small and very uncomfortable. And God makes that possible. God makes it that we know we've gone from insane to sane. The insane idea is that it's right. I'm right, you're wrong. The sane idea is, I got to be useful, God. And God's like, yes, you do, Wendy. And I say, God, show me how to be useful today. Show me how to put down the armor. Show me how to put my eyeballs off of that human being and let them be who they are. And more to the point, let you be who you are, Wendy. You cannot rise above being a human being. You can't. You can't. But mainly, it feels phenomenal to be a useful human being, right? So when I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about my intolerance of them, oh boy, it gets really small really quickly. But here's the news, right? I get to be useful today. I get to pray to God and say, take me over. Take all of me, God, especially the parts that are fearful. I'm intolerant because I'm in fear. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy M. in Colorado. You are our last share today. Thank you, everyone. Great shares. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Lisa N. step up and read that closing for us, starting with our book is meant to be suggestive only and going through Keep You Until Then.
I will do that. Thank you so much for asking me to do this service. Lisa Ann from Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.